Okay, it's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, August 8th, 2018. We have 21 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have northwest winds, 10 to 15 knots. And we have wind waves from the northwest 3 feet high at 4 seconds apart, and west swells 3 feet at 9 seconds. It's hazy before sunrise, and this morning on the river, and apparently in Seaside as well, it is foggy out there. I've been hearing the wonderful, I think it's wonderful, sound of the ship's horns, the fog horns. Of course, it is their horn. They blow it every 2 minutes during foggy conditions or any kind of conditions where visibility is unusually limited. So they don't blow it at night, during the day or at times when it is very foggy, makes it hard to see, or any kind of condition that would limit your visibility. Around here, it's fog. Most of the time, every 2 minutes by law, they have to sound their foghorn. So it's interesting. Ships have to really slow down in the fog, even at sea. I had a ship this morning that came in, the Daria Sati. She's our first inbounder this morning. She was really supposed to be here about an hour earlier, according to the schedule, but she was about an hour late, and probably later than projected. They're really not on a schedule, so to speak, like buses or trains. But she was probably slowed down by the fact that she was slowing down because the visibility was so low, was so bad. So there's really, really thick fog off Astoria this morning, and I've been hearing those foghorns blowing out there as vessels are going by. It's really lovely. And today we're going to continue our chat with Scott McMullen. He's the chair of the Oregon Fishermen's Cable Committee. We're talking about commercial fishing gear. We're going to continue to look at what happens underwater when commercial fishing boats are doing their work. We're going to hear about trawler fishermen who are fishing for groundfish, about how they fill the nets with fish. We'll talk about that. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have the Daria Sati. She glided past the Astoria anchorage at about 7:30 this morning. She was headed for Crims Island, which is up near Longview. She's going to Longview eventually to pick up logs, but she will probably arrive in that Crims anchorage at about 10:30 a.m. There's an integrated tug and barge rig, the Moku Pahu, that should be passing Astoria fairly soon. Arriving from Singapore, headed for the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria. She should be there maybe already by now or shortly. The London Highway is a car carrier arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for the Port of Portland. She has brand new Toyotas on board, and she'll be passing Astoria around 11:30 this morning, arriving in Portland maybe then about 6 hours later, around 5:30. And these are all estimates. As you can see, weather and other scheduling issues can affect when a ship arrives. So these are all approximates in terms of when ships might be passing where you are. In the Astoria anchorage, the Bearish Bondi is headed for Kalama, probably left and already, and could be up there by about 10:30 this morning. She's going to be picking up wheat at Kalama. The Urgina Luck is leaving Rice Island, headed for Longview, probably around 10 a.m. She's picking up wheat at the port of Longview, probably be there about 1:30 p.m. And the Moku Pahu will be arriving this morning in the Rice Island anchorage. She'll be there until about 10 p.m. when she will head upriver to Portland to pick up wheat. It'll probably be there by about 4 a.m. on Thursday. That leaves the Insmarmara, the Densa Seal, the Navios Prosperity in the Eastern Asia, awaiting orders. And in our outbounders, we have the G.H. Fortune. She's leaving Vancouver with wheat on board at about 5:30 a.m. She'll be passing Astoria outbound around 11:30 this morning. The Amintore is leaving Portland with wheat on board around noon, so maybe around 6 p.m. you'll see her pass Astoria outbound. The Pelican State heading out of Portland with petroleum on board around noontime and will be passing Astoria around 6 p.m. outbound. The Scarlet Falcon is our ship of the month. We're tracking her, but she hasn't left the Columbia River yet. She will today. She was on the schedule to leave yesterday, so why might she still be here? Well, sometimes orders change for vessels. When I traveled on a vessel a number of years ago, she stayed an extra day in port because she got orders to load more of that cargo than she had originally been allotted. So if this vessel, for instance, got the orders to load more wheat, that's what she's loading, she would stay there and load that cargo until she left. She was able to leave when they were done doing that. So that's one possibility. So at any rate, the Scarlet Falcon is still at Kalama. She's on the schedule to leave around 12:30. That would put her past Astoria outbound around 5:30. If she does, we'll see where she is tomorrow. The Aegea Skippy is leaving Longview carrying wheat around 2:30 p.m., so maybe about 6 o'clock or so she might pass Astoria outbound. The Orca Ace is leaving Vancouver with Subarus on board, leaving around 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound maybe about 9 o'clock tonight. The Sagittarius Ocean is leaving Kalama. I think she brought in a cargo of steel. She's heading out around 5 p.m., so maybe around 10 p.m. outbound past Astoria. The Gale is a bulk carrier leaving Vancouver with wheat on board about 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11. And the Sea Angel leaving Portland with potash on board, leaving around 5:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11:30 p.m. The Alpine Matilda is leaving Portland with petroleum on board. She's a tanker leaving around 6:30 p.m., so maybe after midnight on Thursday, passing Astoria. You'll see her running lights going by. The Merritt Trader is leaving Portland with soda ash on board, leaving around 7 p.m., passing Astoria outbound in the wee hours of Thursday morning. Well, we're continuing our look at what happens underwater when commercial fishermen are doing their jobs on their boats. Today we're going to talk about trawler fishing, which is fishing for ground fish, and about what happens underwater there, how you fill the nets. This is Scott McMullen. He's the chair of the Oregon Fishermen's Cable Committee and has been a fisherman for 45 years. He was in the studios here at Coast Community Radio talking with me about commercial fishing about a week or so ago. Here's Scott.
Some species like, say, Petrolli sole and Dover sole, the doors are a long way forward of the net, and they're really wide. But the cable that comes from the doors back to the net has rubber donuts, little rubber discs made out of tires. If you can imagine taking an old tire and putting it in a hydraulic press and cutting a donut shape out of it. It has a small hole for the cable on the inside, and the outside might be 3 inches or maybe even 4 inches. Well, those tires strung the entire length of these cables form mud gear that creates a little bit of a mud cloud that herds the fish towards the center. So as the trawler is going along, his doors might be several hundred feet apart, but they're herding the fish towards the center, and as the net arrives, as it's moving forward across the seabed, the net will be in position to take the fish as they come to the center of the herding action.
So is there a way to tell when your net's full?
Yeah, midwater trawlers have they're called triggers on their nets. They're electronic devices, and so when the net expands because of the fish being in it, it opens a circuit, sends a signal back to the boat. Most midwater trawlers will have electronics on their net with usually a cabled, but occasionally a wireless transmitter that sends the data back to the ship. And normally on a midwater trawl, they have maybe four of these net triggers. One when the net's 25, the cotton is 25% full, 50% full, 75% full, and full. And so typically, if a fisherman is on good fishing, it might be just a few seconds before the first trigger goes off, and maybe within a minute, the second, if he's on real dense school. And so he can kind of anticipate, I have to start picking up now because I want to get up before my final trigger is, or I go past my final trigger. So,
and that was Scott McMullen. We'll hear more from him tomorrow on The Ship Report. You're listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Have a great day.